sahana bhavatu sahana bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 14. Srila Prabhupada adds, we have the practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things, whereas another cannot do those same things. We already did part of this, right? Now we're on this is not difficult. Okay, this is not difficult to understand. But envious persons do not accept that Krishna has bestowed his favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position, right? Because from the materialistic point of view, then we want to say that because of my ability, that's why something's happening. And the tendency is because he says envious, so that must mean there's some element of ignorance, so therefore we're talking of a neophyte position in this case, right? So they will naturally think because of my material qualification, I am advanced, right? And because of that, I will naturally advance more than anybody else. It's not about Krishna's blessings. It's not about that. No, it's just I'm intelligence. I have ability, therefore. So they cannot see that someone could advance by Krishna's grace. They're not accepting that advancement comes because Krishna's pleased. Right? So they're good on the material platform, but material platform and spiritual aren't connected. You can connect them. But it doesn't. It's not an automatic thing. It's not because you're materially successful, you'll be spiritually successful. You see, I've seen many, many people who are materially very successful. They come to Krishna conscious. They can't figure out what's going on. Right? They're just, you know, even just somebody off the street can do better than them. At the same time, as then you'll see, you know, somebody who doesn't have much material qualification will advance very nicely. And then we see the opposite. Someone who doesn't have much culture and much ability, and materially also they have difficulty spiritually because they can't apply themselves. And people who have material ability are able to focus that in Krishna consciousness and get nice development. Right? But one has to be very careful that one doesn't get proud and think that it's because of my material ability being applied, that's why I'm advancing. No, it's just you're applying yourself fully. Krishna reciprocates. So it's nothing to do with one's material abilities.
The difference between whether someone is successful in devotion or not, does that come down to catching the mood?
Yes, catching mood dependent on Krishna's surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna says, as you surrender. So if one uses one's intelligence and thinks it's by intelligence you'll understand, then Krishna will reciprocate. He's the most intelligent. How intelligent are you compared to Krishna? Nothing, right? But if it's a matter of if you try to engage everything in Krishna's service so you use your intelligence, then you'll get very good result. Because the point is body, mind, and words are engaged. So you do that, you'll get result. Does that make sense? So if you have material qualification, you engage that, you'll advance. You don't have material qualification, but whatever you have, you engage that, you'll advance. Does that make sense? It's like when we have Ramachandra coming back into Ayodhya, right? And so there's a great procession. If you check, much of the procession is monkeys, right? So how are they there? Because they're fully engaged. And that's the whole thing. So even though they're monkeys, they're fully engaged in the Lord's service, body, mind, and word. So they're on the same, in the same entourage with, you know, Bharat, Shatrughna, Sita Devi, and whoever else is there.
We've noticed that for householders to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness is somewhat difficult.
Yes.
Not many can really practice it.
Yes.
And also another point within that is that people are not trained to be fully engaged. Like say 40, 50, 60% is already good for them. They're satisfied. They're not moving towards 100%.
Yes, it's the, how you say, the UP paradigm.
UP.
Uttar Pradesh?
Yeah.
Cholega. Yes. Don't worry. It's good enough. Don't worry about it. So, the point is, as long as they're busy, and that's all the more they can do, so that's nice. But the point is that's why we have it in so many examples. Like you see, many of the examples of perfection in the Bhagavatam are grihasthas. It shows the renunciation, shows the grihasthas. So, and it's not that they're just necessarily living a simple brahminical occupational life. You know, so they're not much connected in that way they can do, but they're giving so many examples of emperors of the world or bigger than the world, right? You know, the whole of, Jambudweep, I think, Agnidra, and then the whole of Bharat Varsha. We're on 1/9 of it, you know.
The whole Bhumandala.
Yeah, the whole Bhumandala, like this, you know, Priyavrata. Mm-hmm. You know, so the whole thing is if you understand the science, you understand how everything's connected to Krishna, so nothing's not connected. So that way, the Grihastha has, and that way you could say, more opportunities to connect to Krishna. But you just have to know how to do it. That's what he said with the training. So nowadays, it's kind of like if, you know, people are chanting their rounds and this, and we don't find out much about anything else, and when they come to the temple, they seem to be okay, then that's good enough, you know, rather than, you know, the strive for pure devotional service. One can say, they can't do that, but it's a mentality. It's a mentality. So, they could be in the morning chanting their rounds with the other devotees there, or they could be doing something else. So it's there is time. It's just what you do with it. You have to be more careful with it. The grihastha has to be more expert with his time. You know, the brahmachari kind of, if he spaces out, then it's still involved in more direct things, or at least he's doing something kind of neutral. You know, like that. And then there's always someone going to come along and, you know, engage him. Yeah, Chalega doesn't work there. Yeah. You know. So the grihastha has to be more aware. One can say, but that's not practical. But let's just switch it. Let's say we're talking about somebody who maturely wants to progress. They want money, they want facility, they want to move up. They want a good house, they want good facilities, they want facilities for the family, they want to travel, they want to do the whole thing. How are they going to get that? By Cholega? No. They're going to have to work as hard as you would have to work for pure devotional service. So that's the thing, is Krishna's not asking us to do more than the karmi does. He's just asking us to do that much. Because the materialist is driven by his own material need. So if we're driven by the need to please Krishna, then we'll get unlimited benefit for the karmis, just, you know, meager. You know, like that? You know, he gets a nice pen. How many people even see the pen? You know.
Yeah. So, then, previously you've mentioned that it's not material conditioning with the pure devotional service.
Yeah.
But now we see it parallels. Because in material life, some people are very, they want to get the best.
Yes.
And then some people just cool with anything.
Yeah, so that will, it's not that the conditioning won't have an effect. What we're saying, it's not the conditioning that is actually the gold standard of devotional service. I'm only saying that because, let's say you have a professional join, and, you know, the guy that, you know, works down at the, you know, laundromat or something like that, you know. So then the natural thing will be is the professional would be more advanced, he'll advance quicker, he'll do everything like this. But it's not necessarily. So if he's able to maintain a proper devotional attitude, he may be able to do some very major, you know, responsibilities and engages his nature that way, and that will be very good. And so he'll advance. But the other person just fully engaging themselves, let's say doing something in the temple, practical service, fixing this and that, he'll advance just as quickly. So it's about your commitment to Krishna consciousness that you advance. That's the point here. Not that it's why we're going about this is because the Brahmavadis and that think because I'm intelligent, I'll get liberated. Like that. Or because I'm detached, I'll get liberated. But it's actually, no, you please Krishna, you get liberated. That's the hope. Yeah. So if there's training, then anybody can do. Yeah. That's the whole. Maybe Kunti Devi is fully absorbed. You know, her prayers are one of the major prayers to study. Like that. Prabhupada would put a lot of time on Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and Kunti's prayers. You know, so one kid and one lady. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that it's about you commit yourself to Krishna consciousness. It's perfect. You know, Jarabharat is a madman, you know, just an avidhoot, doesn't care about anything. You know, so it's like you have a whole wide variety. You have from very sophisticated personalities, very intellectual personalities, very simple. All the wide ranges showing how all of them are Krishna conscious because they're all committed. So you can train somebody in that. Of course, they have to want to be trained. And then how sophisticated will be their application, that will be much of the time according to their condition. But if they focus themselves, then even though they may not be so, let's say, intellectual or academic, they can actually know the essence. They can know the principle. More than, let's say, someone who's more intellectual and knows more, technically. They'll know actually how to apply it. So, yeah? Okay. Such a foolish person becomes envious and tries to minimize and advance the devotee's activities. That is not Vaishnavism. A Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavas. Therefore, a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as nirmatsara. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or of anyone else, and therefore they are called nirmatsaranam satam. Because enviousness is from the mode of ignorance. It's not something else like that. Jealousy will be passion, but envy is ignorance because it's destructive. Because you're taking it, he can't be advanced. You know, I knew him when he joined, how can he be advanced? Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives story of there's this little kid, he's running around the village with no clothes on, right? You know, a little 3-year-old, 5-year-old, like this. And then, you know, after some time he grows up and he becomes a big government official. And then other people who were there in the village who were older, and someone said, oh, whatever happened to that, you know, kid that used to run around naked? Oh, he's a big government guy. Says, what? No, it can't be. He just runs around the village naked. Right? They just can't acknowledge that, you know, things develop. So many times you see somebody's there, join at the same time, another one gets very developed, another one doesn't. And so then they may appreciate, like here, like it says, the Vaishnava mood and appreciate. And then, but others might say, oh no, it can't be. So that's that. We have to be very, very careful with that. Oh, no one can follow all this. Oh, no one can do all this. Oh, that's not for us. That's fanatic. This is all envy. Why? Because they're saying it's not possible. It's not the standard. When the Acharyas are saying it is. So being the opposite of what the Acharyas say, then that means you're taking what's right is wrong and wrong is right. It has to be mode of ignorance. So therefore the basis is envy. If you say, well, I don't know, you know, it says, Shastra says this, but then we have to be practical that, and, you know, we're trying to do this, and then, you know, we talk to, you know, people and they don't understand, and that kind of thing. That's mode of passion. Does that make sense? Popular.
The inability to choose right and wrong, is that born from the multitude of desires? You want
yes.
this and you want that?
Yes, yes. Because the point is that, let's say you're trained in a traditional background, you're supposed to do this, you don't do that, so you don't want it. But if you're coming from a background where, how you say, whatever yourself and those within your circle say is good, and that's all, then you're going to have a problem. Because that changes with flavor. It's not based on some tradition. It's just that you analyze things in a particular way with your conditioning, and you find other friends who, you know, it's similar, they can appreciate that. And so then that's where the mode of passion is, because you want to leave all options open. You know, that's the thing. Oh no, but anybody should be able to do that. Yes, the standard is anybody can do it, but you have to have the qualifications. Not anybody can do it. And because if we put it into things that are tradition, we want to break it down and say anybody can do it. Right? Anybody can do it. Okay, so then Guru Maharaj is driving to Calcutta to go to the airport. This 8-year-old kid really wants to drive him. You know, we're open. Anybody can do. Is anybody going to agree? The most liberal person, most broad-minded, open, you know, not fettered by all this, you know, burdensome tradition, is he going to let the kid drive? No, why not? Because actually it's about sense gratification, like you said. It's not about practically getting something done. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like everybody wants to do the service, but how many can do the service? Now, everyone wants to dress the deed, how many can? You know? Everyone wants to do the Mangala. Who wants to do the 8:30 at night Mangala? RT. You know what I'm saying? No one's there to watch. You know what I'm saying? So the point is say, no, everybody wants to do, but then does it work? That's the difficulty. So that's the Vedic standard, is if you have the qualification, then there shouldn't be something stopping you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. It's not, so people want to break down that I have the option, but do they actually do it? That's, you know, it's like, oh no, you know, this one can't be president, that one can't be, anybody can, like this and that. And so what do you end up with? You end up with a temple committee. But does anybody on that committee actually do anything? No, they just sit in the meeting and decide what should be done. And then they have to find a lackey to get it done. And then call him the temple president. And so if anything goes wrong, it's his fault. And they control everything. So what's that? That's the mode of passion. Everyone wants the option and this and that. No, it only takes one guy to run a temple. Right? You know, when Prabhupada was here, you had temples that had, you know, 100 devotees or more. And one person was the president. So now it's, you know, it needs a whole, you know, you say a whole flotilla to make it work. And even then it doesn't work. So that's the thing. It's all options. Everybody, no, but what's this? Oh, there's money that I want to be able to control. Why they should control it? Yes. So that's the mode of passion. So you can't tell what should be done, what shouldn't be done. It sounds nice. No, but everybody should be given the chance. Great. It's just like, do you ever sit and watch Abhishekhs? Okay. Now you have an Abhishek where a few people there that know what they're doing is on a regular basis pouring things on the deity in a proper way. Or you have everybody up there trying to do their thing and this one's doing that, and then you got the guy that does the, you know, each drop out of the conch shell is, you know, 12 years or more. That, you know, how you say the love pours out of their hearts as they do. So is that fun to watch? No. So that's the whole point, is everybody gets to do. Oh, why can't everybody? But the whole point is since everybody can't do, then what about the everybody who's not doing? What about them? You know, or everybody is just standing there for the Abhishek, and they all start to crowd around so they can see, and then nobody out in the audience can see. So the whole point is you're serving the deity. So those who see that they're serving the deities, they should be there. And everybody who's coming up to get the blessings and all that, they should sit down and watch. That's where you get the blessings.
Getting the mercy.
Yes, that's it. Excuse me. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. It comes up. No, but why can't everybody do what everybody wants to do? It says no, but they don't know how to do it. So that means anything devotional, because it's open to everybody, it takes no skill. And then something that, in the material world, it takes a skill. Oh, it's not because you have devotional qualification. Unless you have the material skill, you can't do it. It is. That's the whole point, is that those who claim to be so liberal and so about the people are the most impersonal. And those people they say are impersonal, they're doing everything for people. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Or that, you know, the uncultured people, the third world people, you know, all this family business and community business gets in the way. They can't progress. But it has nothing to do with that. You know, because let's say your Indians, your Orientals, they are community-based, and they do fine. But they'll find, oh no, these things get in the way. It's when you're impersonal, you don't care about family things, that's when you'll progress. No. It's one approach. So that's the thing, is that there's this idea, because the passion, I'll get more. So you want it, it's that, it's there for everybody, means I could also get. Not that I'll do anything, but I just want to have the option that I could. But then you ruin it for everybody else, and then you frustrate those who can do. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So like, yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. It's the mode of passion. People are thinking it's, no, we're intellectual, we're thoughtful, we're this, we're that. But it's not actually. That's the ignorance, is they don't actually see what it is. You know, they think it's so developed, because it may be more developed than ignorance, but it pales to goodness. So those in ignorance will say, you know, they're not together and they're like that. And those in goodness, there's something wrong with them. They're, you know, it's fanatic. You can't do like that. That stuff doesn't work. But the mode of passion, oh, now you're on the cutting edge. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So those who are actually on the, they understand. So you can explain this to them and they'll say, oh, okay. But those who think they're on the cutting edge, you can't explain it to them at all. It's like the man who's feigning to be asleep. You can't wake up. That's the problem. So one just avoids, if possible. Okay. As Bhagavad Gita informs us, one can understand how one is saturated with sattva guna, rajaguna, tamaguna. In the examples given herewith, fire represents the mode of goodness. One can understand the constitution of a container for wood, petrol, other inflammable substances by the quality of the fire. Similarly, water represents rajagun, the mode of passion. A small skin and the vast Atlantic Ocean both contain water. And by seeing the quantity of water in a container, one can understand the size of the container. The sky represents the mode of ignorance. The sky is present in a small earthen pot and also in outer space. Thus, by proper judgment, one can see who is a devata, a demigod, and who is an asura, yaksha or rakshasa, according to the qualities of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. One cannot judge whether a person is a devata, an asura, or rakshasa by seeing him, but a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. By just seeing, so anybody can dress up in any way or like that, but it's how they do, what they do. You know, the Prabhupada mentions, you can tell intelligence by when they speak. Right? So you understand the senses or the activity by what they speak, what they do. So that's the position here. Is that make sense? I mean, the point is you're showing three different things like that. So that's, let's say, fire is, you know, activity. Fire is pure. By fire is also considered knowledge,
illuminating,
like that. Like you light the wood, it burns until there's nothing, like that. Water then is connected with taste, like that. Right? The mode of ignorance is nothing there. It's just space.
No interaction.
Yeah, there's nothing. Nothing happens like that. Okay? You understand? So you can look at it from the point is that the person in ignorance then, you know, is either doing nothing or they're interested in nothing. Right? So the mudha or the jnani is nothing happens. Right? For the person in passion, it's about taste. They're always trying to find the taste. You know, and for the person in goodness, then it's knowledge and activity according to, you know, recommendation. Does that work like that? Yeah. Yes.
Regarding the question, Prabhupada doesn't say fire is in the mode of goodness.
No, he's just giving it as an example. But this example is being given by the acharyas, so therefore it's used. So, you know, these would be, because depending upon what you want to take, you do. You know what I'm saying? If you're looking at Ayurveda, then air is goodness, or ether is goodness, fire is passion, and water will be ignorance. Like that. But this is taking from a different angle. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata, asura, yaksha, rakshasa, Krishna's quality is proportionally exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's power is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality, but actually it is no such thing. Krishna is equal to everyone, and according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like you have radio waves, right? What picks up radio waves? Yeah, radio receiver. So can you say, oh, the radio waves are being partial to the radio receiver? No, the radio waves are going everywhere. But only the receiver is able to appreciate it. So Krishna's mercy is there for everybody. It's just who appreciates it. So, makes sense? So we can see here in this kind of thing where he's saying devata, demons, and yaksha and rakshasa. Because generally we take the yakshas and rakshasas and put them in. you know, as all part of the one family, right? Package. But we see here's devatas because they're following the laws of God to please the Lord. But being neophytes, they can get distracted or can be, you know, properly doing, right? The demons, then, when it's talking in this formula, they're the ones who also follow the Vedic, but not to please the Lord, just to please themselves. And then the yakshas, rakshasas, those will be the ones who don't really worry about all that stuff. Does that make sense? You know, they have their own culture. You know, the rakshasa culture, the yaksha culture. Yes.
What kind of rules do demons follow? Vedic culture.
Yeah, they follow the Vedic culture. In other words, you go down to, you know, Sutala and all these talas down there, and they're all wearing dhotis. You know, and they're cooking the kind of food how we cook, and living in these kind of ways, and you know, they burn incense and all that kind of jazz.
Yep.
They do yagyas. They do puja, but they follow it because it's a rule, because they know you get piety, therefore you get material enjoyment. But when they it's not that they're always dutiful because of passion. Only when they're interested in the result, they do it. Just like you see Hiranyakashipu is doing austerities to get the favor of Lord Brahma, because that's the system. But at other times, then he just doesn't care about the demigods. Right? So that's passion. Yes.
When we say that yakshas and rakshasas, they follow their own stuff.
Yeah.
It means it's like the animals who don't get karmic reactions for anything, they just live it their lives.
They're living their life because that's the karma to come into that.
So they don't produce?
I'm sure that they can, but in one sense it's not necessary. This is the place where you specifically produce. You know, so they have their. It's not that they aren't part of the Vedic social scene, but that it's a matter of they may be part of it, may not be part of it. You know, because they have their own scene. Does that make sense? Like I think Kubera, you know.
Sons are a good example of cursed by knowledge.
Yeah, you know, so they're just you know, old man's rich and hanging out with the girls and. You know, they run into a bit of problems. Yeah. You know, so you don't hear of that happening so much with the demigods. He gets distracted not so much by intoxication and all that, he gets distracted by his position. There, but not when he's like in the court and all that. So he has this time when he does, and then he has this private time. But these guys are just, all they got is private time. You know, yeah. It's not that they don't get distracted, but it's more structured. But when you get down there, they don't worry about structure, because like we said, it's the lower planets, they don't have night and day. You know, it's just always light. It's like living in a mall or something. You know, so it's always happening. 24-hour mall.
It's like the airport.
Yeah, like an airport. It's just like the airport. Yeah. Like that. There's no, you do anything you want, anytime you want, you know, whatever.
Does that mean they don't have specific regulations for daily activities?
I'm not sure how it works, but it's just mentioned that there's no sun there and that all the light is produced from the Nagas. You know, on Patal and then two of them up, I think Vital.
It's just that I feel the passing of time.
Yeah. So like that. It's like that. You're in the airport. You don't, you know, it's just...
Time warp.
Yeah. You know, so it's like that. Because it's just designed for enjoyment. So how they work it, I guess when they're hungry, they eat. When they're tired, they sleep. You know, it's like there in the airport. Some people are walking around. Some people are laying on the benches. You know, somebody are eating, somebody else is, you know, not. So it's nobody cares. It's whatever you want to do. It's all good.
That would seem to me that they don't really have nitya dharma, just non-nitya, whenever they want to.
Yeah, yeah. Or actually, it's, you know, how you say? it be like, what's the kamyaka? Just as they desire. Right? So they don't seem to be bound by these others. I mean, there must be some basic rules. They follow some basic things, but it doesn't seem to be as structured. Yeah. Well, as you see now, as before you had, you know, a market was a certain thing, it had a thing, but now malls become more and more the prominent. You know, as the consciousness goes down, these come up, so you think there's advancement. No, it's just the mode of thing. It's just advancement in the demoniac, or advancement like this. So it appears that it's more advanced, but it's not necessarily. You know, it's just like somehow or another, you go to the, you know, little out of the way gully down in Morocco, and you go and you buy the thing, and you can pick out, you know, good stuff and this and that, and get a good price. The same stuff is sold in some high-end boutique in some big fancy mall, and that somehow or another that's superior. You know. Yes, you have that experience, but then those who, you know, would rather go down to Morocco and get their stuff, then that's also a different experience.
But you pay for the experience.
You pay either way.
Just more or less.
No, it's the one you save on the item itself, you pay on tickets and other things like that, and the other ones you save on that, you just pay way more. Yeah, I mean, the point is everything works out. You get your experience. Because people who do that and they go out into the places, go to the original places, they'll consider themselves superior. Because they can make the endeavor and all that, and all these other guys are just wimps that can sit around the cities and go to malls. While the guys who go to the malls, they consider themselves superior because it's sophisticated and fashionable. While these other guys generally don't tend to be very fashionable, and they're a little rough and ready. You know, so like that is each one thinks they're better than the other. Like the giraffes are probably sitting there and, you know, making, you know, comments about, you know, the other guys down on the ground, you know, how stupid the wildebeests look or something. You know?
Eating the grass.
Yeah, eating the grass, you know, stuff. Like, everybody walks on that, you know. Come on, we are in the trees. You know? Yeah. So it's just the modes of nature. So that's the point, is that you can tell somebody's qualities from the modes. But what is working, but so what you're looking at is what mode is there, so you know kind of how to deal, but it's also what qualities are there. And depending upon those qualities, that's how you approach and give Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like you're saying, the person at the mall, it's the high energy, it's the fashion, the sophistication, the, you know, these kind of things, those are all Krishna. Or the other person is down to earth, it's practical, it's unique, it's out of the way, that's also Krishna. So either way you can connect them to Krishna. That's the universal point of the Vedic. Right? Krishna is equal to everyone, and according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a practical example in this connection. In the sky there are many luminaries. At night, even in darkness, the moon is extremely brilliant and can be directly perceived. The sun is also extremely brilliant. When covered by clouds, however, these luminaries are not distinctly visible. Similarly, the more one advances in sattva guna, the more his brilliance is exhibited by devotional service. But the more one is covered by rajagun and tamagun, the less visible his brilliance, for he is covered by these qualities. The visibility of one's qualities does not depend on the partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is due to various coverings in different proportions. Thus one can understand how far he is advanced in terms of sattva-gun and how much he is covered by rajagun and tamagun. And so that's how you'll know one's developing, because knowledge, detachment are coming, therefore other good qualities are coming up, the dutiful, all the things that are recommended. And one's own material desires and needs, that's going down. The ability to tell the difference between right and wrong rather than be confused, or the, you know, the inability to tell. So if you're in ignorance, there's a good chance you won't be able to tell. You know, passion, you can get an idea, but it's not, you know, but it's still going to be a problem. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates different types of bodies, offering a particular body to each living entity according to his character and fruit of activities, actions, the Lord revives all the qualities of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. Then, as the Supersoul, he enters each body and influences the qualities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, using sattva-gun for maintenance, rajagun for creation, and tamagun for annihilation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one should not worry that the Lord is dependent on the gunas, even though according to the gunas, he is visible to various degrees. His creation of the gunas takes place without effort. When the Lord desires to create bodies for enjoyment of the jiva, he manifests rajas separately, which was previously situated in equilibrium. When he desires to enjoy in various types of bodies of the living entities to protect the righteous, he manifests sattva separately. When he desires to destroy, he inspires tamas separately. And so each one of them then is manifesting according to the Lord's interest.
When we say usually it's never one guna, he always takes.
Yes. It's just showing what's happening, because you always study them individually, but they're always applied together.
Yes.
Right?
But here, what does this not apply to the guna exactly? But separately?
He means that he's not dependent upon that. He's making them manifest. So he in his own free will, then gets it done through that. You know, it's just like you want to cut something, you use a knife. Mm-hmm. But it's your free will that you're doing it. The knife is just sitting there, and then you engage it. Is that makes sense?
So what does he want to prove? A soul?
That the Lord is not controlled by the modes. He's not dependent on the modes. Like the living entity that gets something done is dependent. Like you wake up in the morning and you can feel, okay, this is going to be a good day. Right? Or you wake up in the morning and you may not be as inspired. Right? So we're dependent upon the modes. Well, the Lord is not. Right? He can deal with all of these separately, and he's not controlled by them. Just the living entity has a desire to enjoy in a particular way, therefore they get a particular body under certain modes of control, therefore those modes arrange everything. Then his super soul is there, and then he adjusts the modes to make the experiences that living entity wants to taste happen. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point of all this is he's impartial. You want that. That comes through the mode of ignorance. He then gives the mode of ignorance. Right? So if it's going nicely in the mode of ignorance, then you'll say this is good. Does that make sense?
I have another doubt. When we say that the Lord is impartial, let's take Indra and the demons. They both wanted to win.
Yes, but it depends which mode is prominent at the time. So means ultimately the demigods will win, because the mode of goodness is supposed to be done in this way. That's how everything's maintained. So the universe can't be maintained without goodness, so that means demigods. Right? The demons, just out of their own personal desire, that they want to come up and be more prominent. There's no need for them to run the heavenly planets, because they're not going to do it necessarily out of duty. They do it out of prestige.
That's the benefits and doings. It's like universal order.
Yes.
Let's say we take ordinary people, even devotees. You know, nothing dependable upon a living entity. So it depends on the free will of the living entity, the Lord's mercy, the karma, the
universe. Yeah, all that. But the Lord is independent from that. He doesn't have to be involved, but because of the care for the living entity, and the living entity wants to be involved, therefore it happens.
Is that true? Prabhupada gave this example? The seeds to pray to get something?
Yes. Yes.
Whoever prays the most?
But he's talking about in Vrindavan. So they're all devotees. Like that. So that's another thing. Amongst the karmis, it's who follows the laws of nature properly moves up. Who follows, you know, the shastra, you know, what's recommended, they get better. And those who, to that degree, they follow that, the more they get, to that degree, they don't follow, they get less. You know, Indra's there, he's controlling things, but he did do 100 ashramedhyayas. So that's not a small thing. Right? Like, yeah. Say again. You have to speak more loudly.
Lord Krishna said that Krishna will not fulfill the desire, which will be bad for Krishna consciousness, even if we desire it so badly.
Yes, that's there, because that's your devotee. But if you're consistent, though, you'd rather do that than be devotional, then Maya will.
At the same time, if you're down there, it's saying that Krishna actually allows devotees to decide.
Yes, means they want to do something, Krishna will fulfill that desire, but in such a way to remove it. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point. Is that?
Yeah.
Well, there seems to be two parallel things going on. One is the natural fluctuations of the mode with the factors leading to these ones becoming prominent or these ones.
Yes.
But there seems to be the second one also, that some outside of that, someone surrenders to Krishna and then he gives them special protection that may not be anything to do with karma.
Yes, because that's Krishna karma. Yeah. So it means if you're not a devotee, you're working within karma. But devotees, that means someone who's come to the point of Shraddha, they're working within Krishna karma.
So for the devas, they get into trouble because the mode of passion or ignorance has become prominent. But then when they surrender unto the Lord, then that's Krishna karma.
Yes, yes, yes. It's just a matter of how, you know, whether they're working more on the bhakti or on the misra. You know, because they're demigods because they want to do that. They want position, they want authority, they want wealth, they want beauty, they want fame, they want facility. So if a devotee wants that, then becoming a demigod is easy. That's why it's said. So when it's not as advanced, then they'll go to the heavenly planets. So when it's more advanced, they'll take birth in the family of devotees. Right? But after going to the heavenly planets, they'll come back and take birth in, you know, religious or wealthy or, you know, some more higher grade family. Because there's more of an exposure to following the Vedic culture, to philosophy, they have more time. You know, so in other words, there'll be more facility there rather than at 6 years old, you know, you have to take charge of the family because everybody else is dead or something. So that's the whole thing, is you have facility, you know, you have books, you have libraries, you have time. Yes.
Am I clear on this first sentence that one should not worry that the Lord is dependent on the beginners?
You just meaning is that you shouldn't think that, oh, maybe he's dependent. It's just a way of just saying that he's not.
Because according to the beginners, he's invisible to the beginners.
Means he's not dependent. Mm-hmm. We're in the depending upon us. We're in the mode, so then we can see to a particular degree. So in other words, in goodness, you can see more clearly. Passion, less. Ignorance, basically, you can't. You know, that's the example of the mirror covered with dust. It's very easy to remove. fire covered by smoke, that's, you know, even you wave your arms, nothing happens.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the, because smoke, fire follows beauty. You didn't learn that one? Yeah, that's why it always works. And so that's more difficult, you know, more endeavor to clear and all that. And then the third, ignorance, is like the child covered in the womb. You know, it's just, you're not going to, that, you know, there's no way of getting through to that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way is that he's perceived, depending on the mode you're in, not what modes he's in. Or you can perceive him by what modes are functioning, that you know that he's controlling them. Like that. Depends on how you want it. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the supreme personality of Godhead is never under the time factor, nor under the material energy. Right? So he's expanded. He expands the internal potency. The internal potency expands the jivas and the material energy. He expands the time factor. So then the material energy and the jivas are under the time factor. He's not, because he's the one that's created. Time works according to his idea. Let's say you're in a good situation, right? You're thinking, wow, this should last forever. But does it? No. Like that. You know, that's why Maya has, how you say, what do you call it? Given the intelligence to manifest mobile phones, right? So that those moments cannot last forever. Someone is going to contact you. Just when you think, ah, now I can take a nap. That you can see, right? Whole day, no one will contact you. As soon as the head hits the pillow, that's when the messages start.
Huh?
Yes, yeah, that is working. That is, otherwise, who knows you're taking a nap? They don't know. They're just sitting there. Hey, maybe I should contact that guy. You know? Yeah. We heard that.
But on the other side, when you have a wonderful moment, you can take a selfie.
Yes, and then after your. After the what do you call it? Your memory is full, and what do you do with them? Do you ever look at them? Yeah, and then it gets buried in 10 pages of somebody else's stuff. Yeah, so it's just a meter. You put up this nice thing, and then somebody else that, and you're connected to all these people, and suddenly it's like you have 20 pages to delete if you want to keep your page clean. Like that. So like that. So yes, you get in one selfie and then like that. So the what are you saying? How do we get into that?
The Lord is outside of the
time. Oh yeah, so he's out of time. So he's having a good time with the gopis, right? Within the year, then the month of Shara, the season of Sharad is the best of that, then the full moon like that, of all the different things, then that the Jamuna, being with the gopis, all this is all the best, right? And how long does that night last? A night of Brahma. So that's, you know, what is it? 4,300,000,000 years. Huh? No, but that's day and night, just the night. So then it's now that's, you're not controlled by time. And at the same time, for everybody else, it happened in one night. Right? Because it's someone, you like a moment. It has that feeling of eternality. Why? Because you've touched Brahman. right? Because this is so nice, but it's a generic quality. You understand? So it's qualities of Brahman. You've touched Brahman. That's why it has that feeling. But how long does anybody stay on the Brahman platform? Right? Not a whole heck of a lot of time. So it's not long before, you know, something comes up. Then it's like, oh, I got to get a selfie of this, right? That you're already gone. This eternity's gone. Right? Because, you know, you take it, other than that, no, this, that, what's that stupid guy like this, and then someone contacts you, this, that, and it's gone. Time limits. So time creates action and everything. So through time you can advance. But also through time is how you get all your problem, all your restrictions, everything like that. So in other words, if you voluntarily follow the restrictions of time, then you get the benefit. Then you become happy. If you try to not follow the restrictions of time to become happy, then you become bound. You know, that's what doesn't make sense. Write that. You follow the rules, you get more. Right? So that means you follow time. But when you don't follow them, it appears maybe you'll get more, but do they ever get more? You know? The whole point is the disco is full of people. Right? There's a line outside that are grumpy because they want to get in. Right? Probably the only guy that's happy is the guy at the door, right? Because people give him stuff, show him stuff, whatever it is. So he does okay. Right? Then the people inside, they're hoping that something will happen. You know? They're all there because something may happen. There's nothing happening in life. But does it ever happen? So that's the thing. It appears you can get, but nobody gets. That's Maya. You think you can get, but you don't. Oh, it's that, why should I restrict myself? I can just go out and I can find whoever I want. Do those people ever find anybody? And if they do, I think the term one night stand is specifically connected to bars and discos. You know? So, yeah.
Yes. You get more sophisticated, why? You only get one after the other. One is worse than the other.
Yeah. So like that. It's just that's the difficulty. But those who follow time restrict. There's a time for this. There's a time for that. Like now you're a student. Now you study. You know. Then there's a time for marriage life. Then there's a time. Then you follow that. Then it works. But those who think no, I want now. They're the ones that don't get. That's the fun part. That's Maya's trick. Because otherwise, if it was about this free and interacting, then, you know, high school would be the most wonderful time, you know, in one's life and the most wonderful place on the planet. But generally speaking, it's considered a very strange experience. Yes. So that's the thing. That's a group of people who are committed to not following anything and trying to get the maximum. And, you know. According to Srila Prabhupada's purport, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. Right? So he's not under the modes, he's not under time. Right? One should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor. But the Lord is not subject to the actions or reactions of time, for time has been created by Him. To be more clear, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. In this verse, the words Kalam, Charantam, Shrijatisha, Ashrayam indicate that although the Lord acts within time, whether Satvagun, Rajagun, or Tamagun is prominent, one should not think that the Lord is under time's control. Right? He does for his pastimes that work within the situations that are going on. Right? But they don't control him. He's just himself taking part in them. He doesn't have to. He is, while we have to. Right? Until one comes to that transcendental platform, then one also works within that environment where one is unaffected like the Lord. Right? The Lord's in a situation. He performs the duties of that situation. But he's unaffected. So the devotee can come to that. It's not that the situations change. Right? It's that we're unaffected. Does that make sense?
Yes. So basically we can say that karma is manifest through time and guna.
Yes. Yes, you could. Because time is the action. So depending upon your guna, then you will choose what to do with that action. And that will give you a further result in the modes. Like that. Yeah, so you can say is that it's all happening within there. Yeah. Because karma is the results of previous actions, so that's time. And then what you did with it then is the modes, what you'll do with it now is the modes. So it may be the modes are one way you do something. You in the future you get the result of that, but because also just exposure to the various things of the mode, you're not inclined that way anymore, but you get the result anyway, and you're not interested. You know, it's just like, let's say the person goes to the restaurant, he orders something, you know, really good mood, he orders something like this. While he's, you know, just before it arrives, he gets a phone call. Right? Completely ruins the mood, this and that, so when it shows up, then he's not interested. You know, just tells them to pack it or something. You know, take it home, give it to the kids, give it to the dog, give it to the beggar outside the, you know, around the corner, you know, like that. So that's the thing is that we're affected by these. For Krishna, it's just fun. How things adjust and all that, for him, it's just fun. Because in the spiritual world, then it also happens like that. Either it's just happening the way he likes it directly, as he's in control and conscious of that control. Or it's he has his desires, and then Yoga Maya, to fulfill those desires, arranges it in so many ways that he himself puts himself under the control of Yoga Maya. So he doesn't know what will happen. And so then it's fun for him. But it's all unfolding things that he likes to do. But what will happen when, that you don't know. Is that, yeah. So when he comes here, he just follows the same kind of program. Because he's acting under Yoga Maya. But because someone else doesn't have the right consciousness, it's not that it's not Mahamaya for the others involved. Like Krishna's there, let's say, as a messenger for the Pandavas. So he comes into Duryodhana's court and all that. He's working under Yoga Maya. Right? So is Vidura. So like this. But Duryodhana is under Mahamaya. Even though it's the same pastime. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're there, some friends and this and that, interacting, talking to that, and there's some guy who's, you know, making trouble, and you're there and smiling at this guy, and then, you know, like this to that guy, and that's this and that. You know? So it's that. So for that guy, you're trouble. For everybody else, you're, you know, pleasant person at the party.
Yeah.
They're the same person. It's just a matter of what moods manifest. But at the same time, as then they have their own pastimes. So they can be, you know, just like Krishna and Balaram are the same person, but they're different. So the Sarup Shakti is all the Shaktis. At the same time, it can take the position of separate. So the Jiva is there, Mahamaya is there, Yoga Maya is there. Is that what it is? You know, it's just like you'll see, she's Purnamasi in Braj, in Krishna's pastimes. Same time she's Durga over in Dwarka, and in Mathura with Kamsa. right? Because the prayers afterward means the prayers before is that they're, Krishna's, I think, telling Yogamaya to appear and saying you'll be known as Chandi and Gwadrakali and all these kinds of things like that. So that's how people will know Yogamaya here, is his Mahamaya. So it's one person, two offices. But at the same time, because they can expand, they can do both offices at once. But that's why they can act in one way with one person, another way with another. You know, it's like Purnamasi and the gopis. You know, it's all going really well, right? And then Kamsa decides to go check out what's happening in Braj. All his friends go down. You know, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, once going, you never return. And so he wants to go find out what's going on. Right? So he gets there, he just enters Vrindavan, you know, Purnamasi sees him and this and that, takes him, and, you know, figures out what's going on, takes him, dips him in this little pond that's there, and turns him into a gopi, and then says, okay, wash the pots. So here's the king of Mathura, the guy that's terrorizing the universe. Purnamasi is making him wash pots, right? And he's really, really not happy. So then after a long time, then, you know, Purnamasi, okay, I'll let you go back, but you better never come back here again. So that's why you never see Kamsa going, even though it's not that far. He just doesn't go because he's not that much into, he's not a fan of washing pots, let's say. Right? So, it's Yogamaya to the gopis, but Mahamaya to Kamsa.
When the description is given that Mahamaya is like a shadow, that doesn't mean insubstantial or anything like
no, that. No. It just means that it, because the point is Mahamaya, how much do you have to manifest? How much does it take to get the living entity inspired? Right? You know what I'm saying? Let's say you have something from a food chain, right? And you have something cooked by, you know, your grandmother who's, you know, knows how to cook. Is there any comparison? No, but most people think that what's coming from the food chain is great. So that's the whole point. Maya doesn't have to present much to infatuate the living entity. So that's why it's just a shadow. It doesn't have the substance. You know, we're thinking it's so amazing, but compared to the spiritual world, it's not amazing at all. Like you said, it's a spark. So in other words, a spark is maintaining the material world, and all the rest of it, you know, the bonfire is what's the spiritual world is going on. You get a tin can with some rubber wheels, some plastic, put in a little bit of leather and that, and a few pieces of glass and this and that, and people pay hundreds of thousands or millions for it, you know, just to roll down the street, even though they can't go over a speed bump, right? So they have to go around. The guy in the Fiat just drives straight there. So easily enamored. So that's the point. That's why it's just a shadow. You know, so also the point of the shadow does the same things as the original. The original moves the arm, the shadow, the arm moves. So that's why Maya looks like. What goes on here is like what goes on in the spiritual world, just there it's so much better. It's more, and that's for his pleasure. It's for his pleasure that they can get there. It's for Maya's, you know, you could say for her liking that you're here and don't trouble Krishna. But as soon as you stop troubling and are support, she's the one that will recommend. She'll tell Krishna, here's a nice person. Like that. So in this way, then she's. That's the point. There's Mahamaya Yoga. Okay. Yes.
Now it's in the category of the inferior energy, superior energy. And the category of Jiva Shakti, superior energy. Now this inferior energy means the manifested
manifestation of material energy and not the Maya herself?
It means Maya herself as a person. No, because she's you know, she's superior to us. How big is Maya? Right? How big you see that is her. How big are we? 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. We're smaller than an atom. Like that. And what we call atoms nowadays aren't atoms in the Vedic. Those are too big. They have parts. Right? The smallest indivisible bit of matter, that's an atom. So they haven't even gotten down to it, and atoms are pretty small, right? You got nanometers over that, right? It's a millionth of a meter. A billionth of a meter. And that measures atoms, so we're way smaller than that. You know, we're dinky. Right? So she's big. You know, she's unlimitedly bigger than us, and even if she's just manifesting a form here, let alone if she's, you know, they're manifesting her form, you know, with Mahavishnu, right? She's bigger than, you know, unlimited universes. So, yeah, she's big. Yeah. So what it means is that we say material energy, the inferior energy, we mean the 24 elements. That's what we're talking about. Then who controls it, she's superior to that, because she's conscious. So that's why this is it's not conscious. Right? So that's the thing. It's just like, okay, you deal with a person badly, they tell you. You deal with a thing, it doesn't say anything. Right? Or if you deal with a thing badly and a person sees it, then they say something. What if all the things were conscious? You're going to put the rug down, you're not putting it down properly. Now the rug is there to do service of a rug for Krishna. So there's the proper way to put it down so that Krishna can be pleased. You're not putting it down properly. It's not going to say something. Right? So would those from the material world handle that? You know? You know, every time a guy says, you know, says, you call that steering, you know, two hands on the wheel, not there, like that, you know, you call that, you know, moving, you know, shifting the gears, it says, well, what are you doing with the clutch here? You know, I mean, so, you know, what's it. Your posture? What's your?
They had computer programs that
would
do that, and it didn't go well.
No, it won't. Yeah, that's the one guy there. It says like that. It says, you missed your turn again. Like that. Yeah. See, what is it? You had Bart Simpson or something like that just making snide comments. Yes, so, right? So that's the whole thing, is that the spiritual world, everything's conscious because everyone's doing perfect. There's no problem. But here, because everyone wants to do things themselves, the least amount of people that bothers them, the better. Therefore, you're given inanimate material, because it doesn't care. The brick doesn't care if you drop it and break it. You know what I'm saying? You're building something in the spiritual world, the brick won't like to be broken, because then you can't build as nicely. Okay. And being conscious, if you drop it, it might be able to move over and land on your toe. So that really gets a problem. Okay. Did we finish that paragraph? The purport? At the top? Anybody knows? Okay. Huh? Okay, well, time is in the control.
I think we're up to the visibility of one's qualities.
The visibility? Where is the visibility? Yeah, I think we're on page 100 and whatever it is. Yeah, it's just that last, what is it? I had a question on this essay question on page 179, like that. Okay. Time is within his control, for he creates time to act in a certain way. Right? That's the thing, is it works according to how he likes it to work. So the concept of past, present, and future, Krishna likes that. Right? Because then you have things. There's something to... You were with the devotees, you are with the devotees, you will be with the devotees. Does that make sense? So there's a connection there. And so those flavors, that he likes that. So therefore, spiritual time creates that flavor, though it's not controlled by time. So in other words, it can go as quickly as he likes or as slow. It's like I think it's talking about in the Bhagavatam. Krishna's going out of Dwarka with his army and they're going somewhere. So he wants to go, you know, they're going out, getting the boat, getting everyone in, marching. But within a very short time, he's at the place, and that place happens to be on the other side of India. Like that. So in other words, it's just the flavor of going out and walking and going with the army, like that. But it happens very quickly. So there's the concept of, okay, we're going, we have to read, but then he's there. That's why Prabhupada is saying is that mentions the thing is okay, you know, there was that, I don't know if it's so popular anymore, but it was really popular one time about how does Krishna move from one point of Vrindavan so quickly, you know, because the lotus flower, it opens and closes. But the point is, no, it's not about that. It's about fulfilling Krishna's desire. He wants to be there quickly. He's there. He wants to take the time and just play with the cowherd boys. It takes forever to get there. That's why it works. Not that, oh, this mechanical, because that's time and space. That's of this realm. Yeah. Is that something? Yeah. Yes. Somebody? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarasura. Then he's working with Yoga Maya. But that's what he's supposed to do. Otherwise, it's like this. Indra is being paid. Shouldn't it be worthwhile? Shouldn't you get your money's worth? Right? You know, so now and again you have to have some demons come along. Because it's the modes of nature. It has to happen anyway. Because in the pastime, what is shown, what is proven? Yes, he's more devoted than Indra. He, in other words, who has faith in the thunderbolt that it'll kill Dhritarasura? Dhritarasura, not Indra. Right? Who is inspired to perform their duties? Dhritarasura, not Indra. So because it's not about, Indra doesn't kill Dhritarasura. Dhritarasura just leaves. You know, he's a yogi, he can leave whenever he wants. So he's fighting with Indra. Indra's supposed to kill him with the thunderbolt. But in the fight, because he's going to do his best, there he swallows Indra. And now once you swallow Indra, it's kind of like game over. You know, it's like, that's it. So then he just thinks, okay, well, I'm supposed to be killed by Indra. And then go back to Godhead. Indra didn't kill me, so he just goes into meditation and like a yogi leaves his body. You know, and then Indra with the thunderbolt, you know, this time now it's getting really difficult. So now his club's not going to work. Right? You know, so he uses a thunderbolt, gets out, you know, and cuts off Ritu, but he's already dead. So he's working under yoga. It doesn't mean that the body is not, if it's material elements, it's not controlled by Mahamaya. But it's controlled according to the direction of Yogamaya. Does that make sense? You know, the devotees, their body is made out of the 24 elements. So it's controlled by the modes. Right? But it's not that we're under the modes and controlled by that. So we engage the body in Krishna's service. Is that... He is not working under the control of time. The creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when Rajaguna is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for Rajaguna. Similarly, also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. He creates when is creation, when is maintenance, when is dissolution. So he makes times for all that. And then the time factor and the modes, they carry it out. Right? And then he may come himself and take part in those pastimes. But he's not controlled by them. He makes them. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, this time factor enhances the sattva-guna. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattva-guna. Then the demons who are influenced by tamaguna are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious, and therefore he is called Urushrava. Verse 12, Srila Prabhupada comments. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu na me dvesho sti na priyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. Pratigya. The transcendental modes. So Prabhupada's mentioning here about he's not okay. He's never partial, right? So that's the point that's being made here. So that's the pratigya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. So then the explanation, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons killed, this is not his partiality, but the influence of the time factor. So that's the reason. The time factor is making that happen. Right? Then, a good example. So now this is Udaharana, right? The example. Right? A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is the electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that results. Right? The electrician just creates the opportunity that you can heat with this or cool with this. Now, you have something in the fridge you like, you know, you enjoy there, you have something in there you don't like. Then you suffer. That's nothing to do with the electrician and that it makes the refrigerator. Does that make sense? Okay. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Putana is an example. Putana's purpose was to kill Krishna. Aho bhaki yam stana kala kutam. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet, when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Putana's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. This superfluous activity of killing Putana did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Suyidam Sarva Bhutanam, the friend of everyone. Udaharana. Right, so this is... So the example, it seems like it's one thing, it does another. all these different things are happening. So it's just a matter of how you look at it that you'll say, oh, this is favorable, this is unfavorable. Like that. So, okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.